Good evening and welcome to another edition of the KXCV Bearcat Coaches Show, broadcasting live from downtown Maryville at Carson Sports Grill. I'm John Coffey and alongside Matt Gordon. And again, we've got another good show on hand for this evening as we will be talking with the Northwest Women's Basketball Coach Michael Smith, also Northwest Associate Athletic Director of Development and External Relations Scott Nielsen, along with Northwest Track and Field Head Coach Scott Lorick and Northwest Track Athlete Chloe Whiteman, who is the MIAA 600-yard champion. So, again, we'll be talking to all those tonight on the KXCV Bearcat Coaches Show. And, again, we are broadcasting live from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville. And support for the KXCV Bearcat Coaches Show comes from the Student Body Screen Printing and Embroidery, now located near the Northwest Campus at the corner of 4th and Fillmore in Maryville. Student Body provides Bearcat fanwear, custom screen printing, and embroidery for teams, clubs, and businesses throughout the Bearcat Nation. And support also comes from Carson Sports Grill, located on the Maryville Square, open for lunch or dinner, and offers a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more. For dine-in or carry-out, you can call 660-582-2699. And again, our thanks to Carson and Renee and the waitstaff here at Carson's for all their support throughout this season. Mark McWhorter, I'm John Coffey, and Matt. Big game coming up tomorrow for men's basketball. Northwest opening up the MIAA postseason tournament as they will face Emporia State at 6 o'clock down at Municipal Auditorium. That broadcast beginning at 5:40 with our pregame. And we'll be talking some women's basketball here in a little bit with track and field. But Northwest men's team going in as the number 2 seed, and it should be a heck of a tournament down there.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, a lot riding on the tournament, of course, for the Bearcat men. I don't want to call it pressure, but expectations, you know. And I don't think just with the fans, but that team themselves. They've got a lot of expectations on their own of going down and winning a championship down in Kansas City this year. And they definitely have the team that can do it. So it should be a fun weekend down there this weekend.
Yeah, it should. And we've got women's basketball. They wrap things up on a Monday night under first-year coach Michael Smith. We'll hear a lot more about Coach Smith and his season as well as what he's looking for in the future.
Yeah, it's kind of amazing. You think the season comes to an end and things get easier, but he's been working pretty hard even this week, and of course a lot more coming up as well. So we'll hear about how that process is going for him as they build for the future.
Now, as always, we have a few giveaways here during the show for those in attendance here at Carson Sports Grill. And like we did last week, in your booths right now, if you look at the containers where you have the ketchup and mustard, there, if you're at a table where there's a number that is taped to those containers, you come up and see Darren over here to our left. And Chris, and we've got some giveaways for you, and we have a number that matches up with one of our giveaways over there. So good deal for those here in attendance at Carson's.
Absolutely. I like how they've started doing that. Keeps it simple. Chris gets a little less confused that way. That's always important.
Hey, it looks like we've already got someone over to talk to Darren. So.
That's awesome.
All right. So again, we are broadcasting live from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville, and when we come back, we'll talk women's basketball as the head coach of the Northwest women's basketball team, Michael Smith, is with us. That's coming up after this timeout on the KXCV Bearcat Coaches Show from downtown Maryville at Carson Sports Grill.
Support for today's game comes from Taco John's at 1015 South Main in Maryville. Serving breakfast and dinner, Taco John's is open Sunday through Thursday from 7 a.m. until midnight and until 2 a.m. Friday and Saturday. More at tacojohns.com.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Bolin Auto and Truck Parts. Services include brake and suspension work as well as a driveline facility. Bolin Auto and Truck Parts, located at 10th and Mitchell in St. Joseph. Family owned since 1951. More at 800-292-6546.
Today's Bearcat Radio broadcast is sponsored by Hy-Vee in Maryville. Hy-Vee supplies tailgaters across the Bearcat Nation with their line of Deluso sliced meats, cheeses, salads, and sandwiches. More in-store at Maryville Hy-Vee at 1217 South Main.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network is underwritten by Edward Jones Financial Advisor J.R. Kurz, offering retirement and investment advice on the Maryville Square at 119 East 4th Street. More information is available at 660-582-7196. Today's game on the Bearcat Radio Network comes from the Monks of Conception Abbey, praising God and serving the Northwest community since 1873 through ministries such as the Abbey Guest Center and the Prinery House. More information at conceptionabbey.org.
Today's broadcast is brought to you by St. Francis Hospital and Health Services at 2016 South Main in Maryville. St. Francis services include emergency care, surgery, mammography, and obstetrics. More information is available at stfrancismaryville.com.
And we're back at Carson's in downtown Maryville for the Bearcat Coaches Show. So we're going to talk women's basketball here in just a moment, but some of the prizes have already gone out. One of those going to Colin Hoffman. Colin, are you paying attention? Colin? Did you win, Colin? Did you win? Did you win a prize? Yeah, all right. So that's one of the many prizes that will be given away this evening here at Carson's in downtown Maryville. As I mentioned, talking to women's basketball, Northwest women's coach Michael Smith joining us. And, Coach, I mentioned it just a moment ago. You know, people think end of season, and it's going to be a while before you do anything or have to worry about doing anything. But sounds like you've been pretty busy working toward the future starting already this week.
Well, yeah, you know, obviously when the season is over, you never hate for it to end, you know, but in this profession, it's an ongoing thing, whether it be, you know, off season recruiting, camp stuff. Already getting emails, you know, about that. Been trying to put it off as long as I could. I said, well, when the season's over. So I thought, well, I'd have another week or so, and then bang, you know, it just kind of happened. But it's one of those deals. It's just the way it goes, you know. When you get into March, you know, I always like to think about March Madness because it is madness. You just never really know what can happen, and that's good and bad, I guess. You know what I mean? But it just means that that's what's so special, I think, about this game is that any given night, regardless of, you know, the five that you put out on the floor, if you're not ready to go, you know, your season could be over with like that. And unfortunately, that's what happened to us this week. And, you know, as you mentioned, yeah, since then, staff's been on the road recruiting. This is our kind of our off day, I guess, if we have one. And then back at it again tomorrow. And then hopefully this weekend down in Kansas City to watch our men, you know, play and hopefully bring home some more hardware. And, you know, and then next week, Kansas State tournament, high school tournament starts up. So it's a never-ending story.
With most of the states being in either their state tournaments now or over the next couple of weeks or whatever, is that kind of a prime opportunity for you guys to go down and look at talent because they're at the end of their year, should be kind of at the top of their game at this point? Is that a good way to be able to evaluate talent?
Well, it is, you know, because, you know, when I told Coach Shield when he came in, because this is kind of a new level to him, you know, at the NCAA level, and I said, you know, when we got hired, we're a year behind. And, you know, he kind of looked at me because in junior college where he came from, it's, you know, you wait to see if people make grades and you sign them in May, June, July for August to start up. And,
yeah.
You know, at this level, you know, we're already recruiting 2015. So basically when we got hired, we were behind in the 2014s.
Yeah.
You know, we hit the roads as much as we could this summer with all the NCAAU evaluation stuff, and we've signed some really good ones early. I feel very fortunate about the four that we signed in November. But we knew that not only were we going to have to find some more for 14s, we were really going to have to start our list on 2015s. And, you know, that's kind of where we're at right now. And, you know, we're trying to hit some junior college events. My junior college background, his junior college background, you know, whenever you, you know, we're pretty selective, don't get me wrong, about the type of kids that we're bringing in and looking at. But, you know, when you look at a junior college player this time of year, they are playing for something. And, you know, they're bringing in some instant experience to your program.
You talk about your backgrounds. I would guess that contacts, coaching contacts, are probably number one in that game in terms of recruiting and finding talent.
Well, it is. It's tremendous. You know, I've been out of the junior college reign for so long. But I still know a lot of those guys are like me now, and they've moved up to four-year schools. But, you know, Buck being pretty fresh out of junior college, it's the contacts, but more importantly, it's about trusting. Trusting the type of kids, you know, and the type of background they've had. You know, because, again, it's not about quantity to me. It's about quality. And so we want to find the right kids that are going to fit into our system and as well as fit into Northwest, you know, and you know, we're not looking to band-aid things within the program. We're looking to do things the right way. And if we find, you know, one or two junior college kids that I feel like fits into our program, we're going to do it. But, you know, I think prime example is looking at our men's program. You know, if you find the right high school players and bring them in together and, establish, the type of culture that you want, which, you know, we did a little bit this year, but it was kind of hard. I mean, you know, third program, third system in 3 years for these kids and everything. It was kind of hard. But I told him too the other day, and I was joking around with the media, is that you know, unless something unexpectedly happens, I'm going to be here next year, so that'll be a first for a while. You look at the last couple of years with our players, they haven't gone through a postseason to get better because they've gone through two coaching changes back to back. They haven't been through any type of evaluation process. You know, players are made in the offseason. Team is made in season. Your individual player-wise, they're made in the offseason. And, you know, I can't wait to get started. I'm giving our kids a couple of weeks here to kind of just take a break away, you know, let the bodies rest up. Because when we come back after spring break, I want our kids to be so focused and understand that the expectations is going to be there next year. You know, I'm not accustomed to losing. Northwest is not accustomed to losing. And I feel like that, you know, with some of the kids that we've got coming in, the kids that we're going to be bringing back, that, you know, we can really make a stand starting at the end of this month, really, and then all through summer.
Obviously, there's rules and things with the NCAA, but what does an offseason look like typically for a player? I know that there can't be a lot of team work, but what do the players go through over the course of an offseason to make sure they're ready to go to prepare for next season?
Well, we'll get back in the weight room again and working on agilities, quickness, that type of stuff. You know, Joe Quillen does a tremendous job, you know, with our student athletes, as well as conditioning a little bit. I'm not big in the postseason as much as conditioning as I am in the weight room. And then we're allowed to work with them four players at a time with the basketball for a maximum of 2 hours a week. So, which is kind of good because I get them in smaller groups and I can really key in on the key fundamental things that we've really got to get better at, you know, with a few players. And I can really, you know, monitor them and watch their progress. So I think that's going to play to our benefit for sure before school gets out here in May.
Is it kind of where you want to get fundamental work out of the way in the off season so that you don't have to worry about it as much when you do get in season and have the full team together?
Yeah, you know, we're going to have, you know, 5 weeks to, I think about 5 weeks of individual fundamental stuff, and then there should be no excuses. You know, when they get here in summer, they're going to know what to expect to work on their own. If some of them are around this summer, which I think some of them are, and then when we get into the fall, you know, we can kind of pick up where we left off as far as, you know, and it all just starts with, you know, our work ethic. That's what it's going to start with.
You talk about being behind kind of from the start, from when you got started and got hired and everything. Is it kind of exciting for you to get that first full off season to really begin to set the mold?
The mold,
for the
yeah. No, yeah, that's exactly right. I am. I'm ready to. You know, we went through some unfortunate things this year. You know, like, as I mentioned to you, you know, Maggie Marnin stopped by my office today, and I can remember the day she got hurt. It was the first home football game on a Thursday night. I'll never forget, you know. And and it's just like ever since then, we've kind of been going up, battling uphill in a lot of ways, but that really hurt us. That really set us back, you know. She was a kid, not even looking at stats last year. She was the rock of that team in the middle last year, and not having her out there, you know, really affected us. I think it made other players like Annie Matthews really step up and become more of a leader, and I think it showed in her play there towards the second half of the season, you know, in the middle, kind of playing a little out of position in the post. But, you know, getting her back and getting her healthy and getting her, more than anything, confident. You know, when a player comes back from a massive injury like that, it's about having confidence and step out. They don't forget how to shoot. They don't forget how to dribble. It's just being able to step out on that floor and breaking free from that, well, what if, well, what if, well, what if.
Yeah.
You know, then we got to, and that's what we got to break.
You just kind of got to trust that you can be back to normal.
Yeah, you know, and again, that's all within.
Yeah.
It's all within. It's nothing that I can say. It's nothing that necessarily your teammates can say. It's got to start within her, just like, you know, when we talk about confidence, it starts within yourself before anybody can tell you anything else.
You know, and you obviously have plenty of experience in the MIAA, but it just seems like the teams that are successful have a very good inside presence, some good size, good quality size. It seems like those are the teams that you're seeing successful in the postseason.
Well, yeah, every team that played today in the MIAA tournament, you know, they all had a quality, I guess you could say, quality center, as you mentioned. And, you know, when Maggie was an all-conference player as a sophomore, you know, and our leading scorer. So the nice thing is we're going to have 2 years left. She kind of got to see a little bit about our system this year, but her and I talked today, you know, and she says, "Well, coach, I don't know." And I said, "Listen, Maggie, we're not gonna rush this thing. We've got two quality years with you, and we're gonna get the most out of them. So I don't expect you to be out there doing two on two, two weeks from now when we start postseason workouts. It's not gonna work that way. You know, we're gonna bring you back into things slowly and everything and." But just looking back, I've had a couple of days I had to get away, went to the Iowa State tournament, do some recruiting, but more importantly, I had to just get away. You know, you hate to see it end. I told our players at the game the other night, you know, you guys are going to go to class tomorrow. I don't get to prepare for practice. I don't get to prepare for our next opponent with scout and film. And that's what really hits you as a coach. You know, you just, when it's in your blood, it's hard to get away from it. Looking back and seeing that we've lost 7 games this year by 6 points or less.
Yeah.
And I talk to people and they're like, "Well, coach, you're close." I'm like, "Yeah, you know, but we're not close enough, but we're going to be, you know." And that's what the thing that keeps me going is knowing that, hey, you know, I told our kids again after the game, our sun's going to come up tomorrow. I don't know how bright it's going to be, but the sun's going to come up tomorrow. And that's from a coaching standpoint to know that when you go out and you're on the recruiting process and you're seeing kids still playing for something, in March, you know, whether it be a state championship or junior college regional championship, you know, I mean, there's nothing more special as a player or a coach to cut down a net. And I've had the ability to do that a couple of times, and I'm sure excited about bringing that here to Northwest in the future.
It's good to hear you say that you get away from basketball by watching basketball, because people ask me that. You got Saturday off. What are you going to do? Watch basketball.
Yeah,
you know, and they laugh at it, but that's the way it goes.
Well, my wife is joking, and she's sitting over here. We've got a bucket under our sink. I hate to say it. Our garbage disposal's been broke for about 2 months. 6 weeks,
Six
she's saying.
Weeks.
And she said, "The best thing about the season over now is you can fix my garbage disposal." I'm like, "Well, you could have called somebody 6 weeks ago."
Yeah, because there's still some basketball to watch, right?
For a few more weeks. You know, there's nothing like March Madness.
Well,
nothing like it.
You know, Coach, as much fun as, yes, it would be to be in the postseason right now and all that, I think excitement for the future, you know, it just seems like it's there, not just with you, but with the program. You know, it seems like people see what the potential is, and I think that's a lot of fun, you know, going into an off season and thinking about next year already. This year
we have everything in place as far as at the top with our administration, you know, all the key supporters that are around us, our booster club. You know, this has all been new to me as far as not taken away from any other place I've ever been, but this really is a special place. I mean, it's a place where people care. The resources are there. The support is there. Again, that's, you know, I had people, a couple of buddies that, you know, follow me and follow my progress and don't necessarily coach, but they're like, "Gosh, you know, you only won 8 games so far. You've only won 9s. And I said, "Guys, I'm the happiest 9 and 15 coach in the country right now, because I've been at 9 wins at other places and it wasn't fun."
Yeah.
And they're like, "How can you say that?" I said, "Because I know help is on the way, and I know that it's only going to get better." And I truly believe that.
Well, Coach, thanks for putting up with us this year. I know.
No, it's been great. I've known John for a long time, you know, but I appreciate you covering our games. And as I mentioned before, there's, you know, you see the excitement right now with our men's program and them headed to Kansas City and, you know, and the thousands of fans. I know they're going to be in, you know, the municipal auditorium, you know, tomorrow. And I know some of our players, I think, are talking about going. I didn't necessarily hear that, because I'm sure some of them are going to miss some classes to do it. But, you know, as a coach, how can you fault that? Because that's a couple of them were there that night when they cut down the nets. And that's what you want to see, is how special it can be, that if you continue to work hard, good things are going to pay off.
Yeah.
And I know that there's no doubt that we're going to get to that point.
You got John itching.
Michael, I've got one more question for you. It's one that we've thought about asking throughout this season, but as we watch your games...
Can I answer it on air?
I think so. But we know, so there's one particular play that you call where you're rubbing the top of your head. And what I want to know is, which came first, the baldness in the top, or was it just the rubbing of the head kind of forcing the baldness in?
I think it was coaching girls started, first of all, with hair loss. Coach Lawrence looking at me too over here, you know. He said, no comment. You know, we've had a few victories over the years with rubbing that head for that play. And We're going to continue to rub it next year, I know that. I'm sure that a lot better things are going to come out of it.
We just noticed that the players would go with a pat on the head, but yeah. you had the rub on
I was
the
hoping
head,
that so. One day on a rub, there might be some more hair up there.
That ain't good.
My pat is going to hurt. They've got some protection up there. I don't, so.
All right, Coach, well, good luck in the offseason, and we look forward to 2014-2015.
We do, too, as well. Thanks a lot, guys.
That is Michael Smith, head coach of the Northwest Women's Basketball Team, and again, they'll get to enjoy the evening here and then back on the recruiting trail for upcoming season. So we're going to turn our attention when we come back here to Carson's in downtown Maryville to track and field. Last weekend was the MIAA Championships down in Joplin, and we'll turn our focus that way when we come back to downtown Maryville on the Bearcat Coaches Show on KXCB KRNW.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Highline Home Furnishings at 1411 South Main in Maryville, supplying living room, dining room, and bedroom furnishings for the home, as well as mattresses and flooring. More information is available at HighlineHomeFurnishings.com. Support for today's game comes from Farmers Mutual Insurance Company of Nottoway County, insuring homes in town or out and farms in Northwest Missouri since 1891. You can find agent information available at fmnottoway.com. Support for today's game comes from Tri-State Ford and Lincoln at 2017 South Main in Maryville. Tri-State offers the area a selection of new Ford and Lincoln automobiles as well as pre-owned vehicles. More at tristatefordlincoln.com or at 660-582-3677.
Support for this Bearcat Sports broadcast comes from Carson Sports Grill, located at 310 North Main, offering lunch and dinner meals for dine-in or carry-out. Carson's, featuring a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more. For more information, 582-2699.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Northwest Medical Center in Albany. Northwest Medical Center offers inpatient, outpatient, home health, and emergency services with clinics located in Albany, Stanbury, and Grant City. More at northwestmedicalcenter.org.
Today's game is being underwritten by O'Malley Beverage in St. Joseph, Missouri. O'Malley is the region's supplier of Anheuser-Busch products and would like to remind you to drink responsibly and to always designate a driver. More information at anheuserbusch.com.
And welcome back to the KXCV Bearcat Coaches Show. Again, we're broadcasting live from downtown Maryville, Carson Sports Grill, joined now by Scott Lorick, the head coach of the Northwest track and field program here on the Northwest campus. And, Coach, before we get into season and indoor season and outdoor starting up, just kind of follow up on what we were talking about before with Michael. I think he kind of pointed you out there a little bit there, but it's the fact that you run so fast, the friction there that causes a little of that there.
Yeah, I think we'll just go with that as the reason. Yeah, I think that's good. But he pointed to me, and I think we've got some commonalities there. But I don't run that play in track and field. We've got the same hairline, so I don't know what that tells you.
All right. As far as this past weekend, you finished up the MIAA indoor season with the conference track meet down at Joplin on the Missouri Southern campus, and talk a little bit about the way things went for you this past weekend.
Well, it was a tough weekend for us. I mean, we had a lot of good things, but we kind of took it on the chin a little bit. We're building. We've got some great freshmen. We want to score more points and get in there, but things were just so tight through that, and we had a couple things that didn't go our way that made the difference in a couple team places. But we're excited about outdoors, and we've had a lot of great things that happened to us. We probably had more people. Well, definitely, we had more people on the national provisional list and being nationally ranked than we've ever had in our program ever this year. So there are a lot of bright spots, and we're still building on it.
Now, at the end of the indoor season, some awards came out. I know you've got three that's been named to the all region squads here.
Do we? I know. Probably Lakeisha McKnight and Eli Smith, and
yes.
I'm not even sure who the third one was.
Well, I'll pull it up here, but
great. You got to get a track coach in here that know this.
So. But as far as you talk about Lakeisha, well, of course she was here last weekend, and it was talking about her preparation work, and it's nice to know that she gets a chance to move on to the national meet.
That is outstanding, and she's been such a great story for us this whole year. Just coming back this year and just doing a tremendous job, and we're looking forward to outdoors, and I think she'll be a national qualifier in more than one event outdoors.
And what makes her so special in her events with the shot put and the weight throw?
You know, she has a tremendous passion for the sport and for what we're doing. She is a great student of the sport, and, you know, in the year she was off, she had a chance to kind of reevaluate, you know, the direction she wanted to go, and she made some great decisions, and it's just showing. She's working hard and has turned things around, and it's really paying off for her.
Now, you got the Nolan Zimmer also being honored.
Oh, yeah.
So.
He's not bad.
Just kind of talk about what Eli and Nolan bring to your team.
You know, absolutely. Those guys are just great examples. And one of the things, you know, Eli, we really sat him out for the indoor season. He didn't compete at the indoor conference meet. So he earned all region based on his one race in December. So that just kind of tells you how good Eli Smith is. And we're going to redshirt him for the outdoor season and just, you know, have him ready really for next year. You know, those are two of the examples of young guys that are just great work ethic and tremendous attitudes and great team enthusiasm and just absolutely do everything on and off the track that you want to see your kids do. You know, and it's great that they're having that kind of success because they're role models for the rest of the team. And like I said, we've got a lot of young people really doing some great things.
Now, with the indoor season coming to a close, you transition to the outdoor season. And just talk a little bit about what the indoor season does for in preparation for what you've got coming up for the next couple months.
Well, right now we've got a break of about 3 weeks before we compete again. And, you know, we're happy to see the snow starting to melt out there. You can kind of see our track again. And, you know, most of the transitions between indoor and outdoor seasons are really more mental than everything else. And, you know, we'll make those transitions well, but training is going to change a little bit. And indoors has been a stepping stone to outdoors. So for some of our new kids, you know, who have never run indoor track, they're going to get a little more to what they're used to when we get outdoors. But, our team is, you know, they're used to going full year, and this is where it gets, I think, the most exciting is when we get outdoors.
And what will be some of the first meets that you've got coming up that you'll be working for?
Well, our schedule's a little bit of transition right now. We're probably going down to Tulsa, Oklahoma, March 22nd, and we just actually added a meet to our schedule on April 22nd. We're going to fly a small group out to Eugene, Oregon for the Oregon Relays. And as anyone who follows track and field knows, that's kind of the mecca in the United States for track and field. And having our kids finally have the opportunity to go compete at Hayward Field is going to be really, really special. So that's kind of a highlight for us.
Now, is this the first time that you've been able to go out to that one?
Yes. Yes, it is. And I've been kind of working on this project for about 2 years with the University of Oregon. So we're finally going to pull it off this year and get a group out there. And you know, that we've kind of we're telling the kids about today, and they're absolutely thrilled.
Oh, that sounds great. And before we let you go, too, might talk about Chloe. We'll be talking with her in just a little bit, and the MIAA champion in the 600-yard run, I understand, and just kind of talk about something that she brings to the team.
You know, she's another one. Absolutely tremendous attitude. And, you know, I don't think you're going to find somebody who works harder at day in and day out at, you know, just being the best that, you know, she can be than Chloe. And I would put that against anybody I've had in my whole career. You know, 25 plus years, I think Chloe's probably about the top person there. Attitude is just tremendous and a great athlete. And, yeah, it was tremendous for her to be our champion in the 600 yards. But, you know, she does a lot of things for us. She's a multi-event athlete in the heptathlon and the pentathlon. She's a key person on our 4x400 relay team. And, you know, she's going to redshirt this outdoor season, but I had a conversation with her just today about we're going to add the 400 hurdles to her repertoire. And this is the year, since she won't be competing for Northwest this year, that we're going to bring in that new event and kind of introduce her to that. But I think her potential in that is outstanding.
It really takes a special athlete, doesn't it, to be a multi-event type of performer?
You know, you've got to love track and field. I mean, you have to have a special passion for it because the hours they put in and the time and the variety of things. So I think that the people who are in it will say they just love it because it's such a variety. And they get to do, you know, shot put and javelin, and they high jump, and then, you know, they just get to do all these different things. At the same time, there's a high level of frustration because, well, take Chloe, for example. She came to us doing some high jumping and running the 400. So there's all these other events that, you know, she's never even seen before. for. So, I mean, we recruited her because we think she's just a great all-around athlete, and she had the desire to do that. And she's been excelling in that. I mean, she was a national qualifier, outdoors at the NCAA Championships in the heptathlon. And, her next 2 years after this, I think, are just going to be tremendous.
All right. Well, Scott, thanks a lot for being with us.
Thank you.
And that's Scott Lorick, the head coach of the Northwest Indoor and Outdoor Track and Field program, as well as cross country. It's good to have Scott with us here this evening. When we come back, we will continue to talk track and field news as Chloe Richmond will join us and talk about her championship in the 600-yard run this past weekend in the MIAA championships. And Matt will talk to Chloe right after this as you're listening to the KXCV Bearcat Coaches Show, broadcasting live from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville.
Today's game is brought to you in part by Twaddle Realty in Maryville. As a United Country Realtor, Brian Twaddle provides real estate services for residential, farm, and commercial properties at 562-7562 or MarylandMoRealEstate.net.
This Bearcat broadcast is being underwritten by Championship Motors in Maryville. Located at 1528 South Main Street, Bill McCulley and his team offer a variety of pre-owned cars, trucks, vans, and SUVs. More at ChampionshipMotorsLLC.com or at 660-582-8800.
Support for the Bearcats is provided by East Hill Shopping Center at Frederick Boulevard and Belt Highway in St. Joseph. At 45 minutes from Maryville, East Hills offers new restaurants, including Five Guys, Panchero's Mexican Grill, and Golden Corral. More at shopeasthills.com.
Bearcat radio broadcasts are brought to you by the Bearcat Booster Club, impacting every Northwest student athlete by providing a source of funds to improve athletic equipment for teams and programs. Membership information available at northwestbearcats.com.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from Maryville Glass and Lock, offering 24-hour emergency service, locksmithing, auto glass, rock chip repair, storefronts, and entrances. More at 582-3131, in-store at 5th and Buchanan, or at MarylandMoRealEstate.com.
Support for today's game comes in part from McDonald's in Maryville. McDonald's is open 24 hours every day and now serves a limited breakfast menu beginning at midnight. McDonald's, located at the intersection of South Avenue and South Main Street in Maryville.
And we're back at Carson's in downtown Maryville on the Bearcat Coaches Show as we continue to talk track and field. Last weekend was the MIAA Championships down in Joplin, and Chloe Wishman joining us. Chloe was the conference champion in the 600 yards last weekend, and kind of an odd distance. We were talking with Coach last week how so many events are measured in meters, and then you've got this one event measured in yards. But what is it about the 600 yards? Is it much different than, say, the 400 that you're used to?
Yeah, I would say it's a lot different. The 400 is more of a full-out sprint, and then 600, there's a little more strategy to it. You have to cut in after a lap and just have to be aware of where everyone else is running and just thinking about the different times you're trying to run at each lap. And
is there a difference between, because you run preliminaries and then you have the finals, of course, does your thought process change for each of those races?
Not really. This year was a little different because I've never made it into the fast heat of finals, so I was really nervous as far as that goes. After the first 600, I kind of crossed the line in preliminaries, and I just kind of wish that was the last one I had to run, but it's about the same.
Indoor compared to outdoor tracks, especially, what's the major difference for you as a runner competing, because there's the feel. I mean, it just seems like there's a lot that could be different there.
Yeah, indoor, I feel like a lot of track athletes will say they're not a huge fan of indoor season. I actually really like it, especially indoor conference. Everyone's really packed in, like a tight, tiny space, and there's just a lot of excitement going around, and you don't have to worry about weather. It's always going to be the same. Outdoor is also really exciting, too, though. You never really know what the weather's going to be like, and you just kind of have to change how you do things as far as that. And for me, since I'm a multi, they add two events to the multi there, so it's a little more exciting.
Now, down in Joplin last week, did they have like the fans and stuff on the inside of the track? Is that right? Is that
yeah.
how they set it up?
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's got to be a little bit weird, too, having so many people on the inside of the track.
Yeah, it is, especially during like the 4x4, everyone's really pumped up for that race, and it feels like they're in the lane with you when you're running around the whole track, so it's kind of fun.
Now, let's talk. You mentioned the multi-events. The event coming into college before you got into multi-events, what was kind of the specialty for you?
Well, I have done high jump a little bit, so I'd say that was the one I was most experienced in. The 200, I've ran 200s in high school, but never done hurdles or shot put or anything like that.
So of the quote-unquote new events for you, which one of those are have become favorites that you've really enjoyed participating in?
I really love the long jump and the 800 just because I feel like that's something that I can excel in at the end of the events. There's no technique. You just have to run and give it all you got. So,
what are some of the biggest challenges when you talk about just getting into a meet, knowing you've got multiple events to participate in? So from just a single meet standpoint and your mindset and preparing for all these different types of events, what are the biggest challenges that go along with that?
I think it would be, you know, if you do bad in one event, it's hard to carry over to the next one and not be disappointed about that event. And really, I just got to let it go and focus on the next one. Right when I came to Northwest, the first thing Coach Lorick told me was, okay, if you do good in an event, you get 5 minutes to be excited about it, and then it's over. And if you do bad in it, you get 5 minutes to be disappointed about it, and then it's over, and then you're just on to the next one. And
are there some places where... is it ever a challenge to get to all of the events in time, or do they have them spread out enough to where you can get to everything fine?
Well, yeah, actually, that's why the multi is really nice. They usually give you like a half hour between events, and there's not all of the teams are usually there. It's usually just the multi going on, so you have the whole track and everywhere to warm up, and no one's in your way, really, and there's just, you're competing with like 15 girls, and so it's actually really nice, and they give us enough time, so.
Talk about the training regimen, you know, and getting ready for, you know, wanting to be as good as possible in so many different events, whereas most athletes are focused on, even if they're focused on multiples, they're usually close in relation to each other, you know, the shot put and discus or the 200, 400, things like that. What's it like compared to seeing everybody else at practice when you've got such a wide range to prepare for?
Well, I usually don't think of it as that much different. I show up a little earlier and we do event practice, and then I'll do running practice with the team, and I guess I'm just used to it, I guess. I really don't feel like I do that much more than everybody else, I guess. It's just what I'm supposed to do and what I enjoy doing.
Did you know right away in high school that multi-events would be something you might want to get into or you would get into?
No, I actually did not know what a heptathlon was until Coach Lorick told me about it when I came on a visit. So.
Now, Coach Smith was telling us after he was done, because you're from Kirksville,
mm-hmm.
and, of course, he was over there for a little while, and he said he'd enjoy your parents have a nice place to eat over in Kirksville, and he spent a time or two over there, so you knew him before coming over this way, I would assume?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, my dad owns a pizza restaurant in Kirksville, and they have a specialty called a Palanza, and so we joke about that, how he's really missing having one, and
yeah.
So I told my dad about that. He said he'd send one up here sometime. So
that's dangerous. I know he'll hold into that. Do you have, as you go around, do you have any favorite tracks or locations or schools to run or participate at?
Yeah, indoor, the last couple of years, we've gone to Iowa State, and they have a 300-meter indoor track. And it's just really nice, and it's more spread out, so I love running there. And then I guess, yeah, everywhere else, I guess it just seems kind of the same. I love having a home meet. It's just nice to be at your own place, and other people get to come and watch, so it's more comfortable. But other than that, it's all tracks that we go to are pretty nice. So.
Well, Chloe, congratulations on the championship last weekend, and good luck to you coming up in the outdoor season.
Thank you.
That is Chloe Wishman. She is a multi-events participant, as well as a runner, thrower, jumper, whatever they ask her to do, for Northwest Missouri State Junior, again, out of Kirksville. So our thanks to Chloe for stopping by tonight, and we'll be back with more here on the Bearcat Coaches Show from Parsons in downtown Maryville right after this on KXCV KRNW.
Bearcat Radio broadcasts are brought to you by Vaquero and Herzog, REMAX First Choice Real Estate of Liberty, Missouri, specializing in residential and commercial property in North Kansas City. More information is available at 816-806-7777. Today's game is being underwritten by Compass Dental Group in Maryville. Doctors Bruce Twaddle and Brian Viertaler, along with their wives Polly and Rebecca, provide braces, implants, same-day crowns, and general dentistry. More at CompassDentalGroup.com.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Shelter Insurance, providing auto, home, life, business insurance, 24-hour claims assistance, and insurance protection reviews. More information is available from Shelter agents Dave Weigel of Maryville, Craig Thompson of Albany, and Kent Peterson of Stanbury.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Walker Body Shop and Towing at 420 North Market Street in Maryville. Celebrating their 50th anniversary, Walker's provides complete collision repair and 24-hour towing for cars and trucks. 660-582-3104.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Dion and Judy Roush at Bearcat Lanes and Lounge in Maryville. Bearcat Lanes offers open bowling sessions daily, league bowling, lane rentals for private events, as well as programs for kids. More online at BearcatLanes.com.
Support for today's broadcast comes in part from A&G Restaurant at 208 North Main in Maryville. A&G provides a sit-down menu, banquet rooms, and catering. More information available at 660-582-4421 or online at agrestaurant.com.
Welcome back to the KXCV Bearcat Coaches Show. Again, we're broadcasting live from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville. And talking now with Scott Nielsen, who's the Associate Athletic Director for Development and External Relations. And Scott, you've been pretty busy here the last week or so with a lot of people in the athletic department taking this trophy around to various alumni groups. And talk a little bit about the National Championship Trophy and the trip you made, and had a chance to maybe connect with a lot of alumni around the region.
Sure, yeah. We obviously, this time of year is busy anyway with just the sports we have in season, and hopefully he's looking towards the spring and the summer and some things we need to do there from a fundraising standpoint. But very fortunate this year with the national championship with football that we decided we wanted to kind of get that out, get that trophy out, and take it on a little tour of the region. So shortly after the new year, several of us got together on campus and kind of plotted out some different locations we wanted to go. So we kind of kicked it all off with an event in Maryville here, and we did a celebration with the entire team and did a big autograph signing a couple weeks ago. And then, like you said, we took the trophy on a road trip, and we hit five different locations in the region. Started in St. Louis on a Friday. Then last week we were St. Joe on Monday, we were Omaha on Tuesday, Des Moines on Thursday, and then Kansas City on Friday. So we actually looked it up today. It was just under 1,500 miles that the trophy traveled, and then but it was a great time and great chance to see a lot of Bearcats.
Yeah, I think on top of just giving a lot of people in the region a chance to see the trophy and maybe celebrate a little bit with a chance for Coach Doral to talk to the group, a chance to Coach Churchman, the athletic director of Northwest, to meet and greet as well, and just kind of bring the university out to where there's so many alumni around the region that perhaps doesn't get a chance to come to Maryville that often, but still gives them a chance to feel connected with the university.
Sure, and you're right. We ask people throughout the year to come visit us and to come see us, and we obviously have great support here at home, and we have a lot of fun events that people can come see. But this was a good chance for us to go on the road and to go to everybody else's backyard and visit with them. As you mentioned, the trophy was what a lot of people wanted to see, but that doesn't really make an event. You got to have something else to it. So there were several people that kind of put together the program, but we basically had Dr. Jasinski kind of led off the events. Mike Johnson, our VP of Advancement, was kind of our master of ceremonies with these. He would bring Dr. Jasinski up. He would speak for a little bit. Coach T would come up and follow that, and then Coach T would bring Coach Doral up, really got a chance to not just talk about the football season, but just talk about Northwest and, you know, a lot of the things that we already know, why it's such a special place, the fact that everybody's a family, we all work together, and you know, we want to be able to celebrate these opportunities with everybody.
Also used it as a fundraising event as well. I know all the stops, you had some items that were auctioned off, both with Mark Younger, the area auctioneer, as well as some silent auction items, and it seemed like that really went over big with everybody.
It went over great. I mean, you're right. We did get a few items. We wanted to get some kind of unique items that maybe people wouldn't have the opportunity to go buy at a local business or anything like that. So at each of the five stops, we had three main items that we had Mark Younger auction off. We had a game-used football that Coach Doral got, you know, from down in Alabama. We had a replica helmet, a white helmet that we, as you guys remember, for the national championship game, we had some special decals on there honoring some folks down in Alabama and obviously Coach Bostwick. So we decorated these helmets up so they look just like the ones that our guys wore down in Alabama. And then we got Adidas to work with us on getting us a few additional jerseys, those special Adidas jerseys that had family across the back. So we took those around. We had one at each location that we auctioned off, and we were very, very impressed with the generosity of Bearcat fans. In total, those brought in just over $30,000. So, just a great statement about the passion that our people have for the Bearcats and just the generosity and what they want to do to support. I mean, that's the big thing. We want to continue to win championships and you know, that comes about with a lot of hard work by our student athletes and our coaches, but it costs money to travel. It costs money to provide those things that we need to be successful. So that was kind of the point of that, is to try to find ways to capitalize that and then give people a chance to get a piece of these kind of unique items that they wouldn't be able to get.
Now, when you talk about the jersey, and I know I can't do this justice to what Coach Doral was talking about, but he mentioned that he talked to former athletic director and the former head coach at Northwestern, Jim Redd, about missing the first couple minutes of the game because he had an event he's seeing his grandson play in, and called back and asked his wife about the game, and they said, "Well, we scored a touchdown already," and Coach Redd says, "Well, who scored that touchdown?" And she goes, "Well, some guy by the name of Family." And then he finally, Donna, they got the name Family on the back of the jersey for all the players' name there. So,
well, the Family played well that day. If we can get a whole family of a whole group of those guys to stay here, we'll be in good shape. So,
and the last stop on that tour was at Sporting Park down in Kansas City last Friday night, and we hope that we have some other opportunities to go down there for some events at Sporting Park.
Yeah, we were looking at that hopefully as a chance to kind of scout out the location and to get familiar with the area with a return trip in December, hopefully. But like all the events, that was a first class, great setup. The area that we were in had windows that overlooked the field. So I know Coach Doral had never been there before. I'd been to an event there before, so I was familiar with the area, but he had never been there. And when he walked in, I think he was pretty excited about the thought of what it would look like filled with Bearcat fans and what we could do there maybe this December. So a lot of work to do still, but yeah. it's good to have those goals, and I think he wants the team to embrace that idea. You know, Alabama was great. Everybody's got great memories from there, but you know, there's only two teams that are going to have the opportunity to play in that first game in Kansas City, and you know, we want to make sure that we're one of those teams there, that it's in our backyard. We need to make sure we're down there. So
now, one of the things too that you did on the trip was kind of get a little more information out about a couple of projects that are involved. One which will be coming up shortly, the recreational center, and turning what was the aquatic center into really a first-rate recreation center for the students and folks to take advantage of. And then, of course, going around and showing what the plans will be for hopefully an indoor facility that not only football can take advantage of, but a lot of different sports.
Sure. Yeah, that was really exciting. As we were in Omaha, I believe last Tuesday is when the Student Senate met and voted on a student fee, if they were going to approve a student fee to help with the funding efforts for that fitness center that you talked about, the renovating of the Foster Aquatic Center and turning that into it. And it got approved, and you know, that's really the first step. That's will be a benefit to student athletes, but that's going to be a benefit to the entire university. You know, everything from an area for our students to go and just, you know, relax and blow off some steam, but just a recruiting piece for the university as well. I mean, that's a huge push right now is what we can do to keep students coming into Northwest and keep, you know, filling up the university, and that'll be a big piece in that. So that was kind of step one, and that's still in the infancy stage, but we've got the ball moving in that right direction. The indoor facility, we were able to kind of show some people of some very just kind of general concepts of what we, you know, hope to do at some point. We're going to need a lot of support. We'll need a lot of people to show some interest and provide some financial backing for that. But I think it's neat to take a look out into the future and see what things are there. And you know, I know once I got here, a lot of people talked about, you know, an indoor facility has been something that people have kind of hoped for and wished for a long time. And to kind of at least start seeing some drawings and some renderings, I think it's getting people pretty excited. And, you know, you're right. That won't just be a football facility by any means. You know, track just had a couple of fine examples of the track program up here. I mean, they'll get probably more use out of it than football will, and baseball and softball. I mean, they're doing what they can right now, but, you know, obviously when you got snow on the ground in March, it doesn't help you when you're trying to practice baseball and softball. So that'd be a facility that could be used there. And then the additional benefits is it helps free up Bearcat Arena a little bit. You know, if you're ever through there in an afternoon when Coach Smith or Coach McCollum's trying to run a practice and we've got tennis going on, we've got cheerleading, we've got track, and then, you know, they bring campus tours through there. I mean, it's amazing to see all the chaos that is kind of going on, but maybe it's helping our teams. Maybe they're able to focus in rowdy environments since they practice in that on a daily basis.
Yeah, really, I don't think there's probably a building on campus that gets any more use than Lampkin does.
No, and I mean, I was just mentioning athletic events. I think there's a career fair there on Tuesday maybe, and they do, I mean, they use it for all sorts of things. It'll be graduation will be there in a couple months, so yeah, let alone the athletic events, it gets used is kind of one of the main meeting areas on campus as well, so no rest for anybody there.
Yeah, and I also understand that facility could also potentially be used for some other indoor events, conventions, or some things like that could be brought in, that currently there's not a facility for that.
Sure, that, and, you know, we didn't even mention how it would help the general student population as far as, you know, intramurals and just, you know, having an option to have an indoor track that, you know, they can come and utilize for, you know, exercise and class activities, things like that from the physical education area. I mean, there's a lot of, it'll get a lot of use. There will be no doubt about that if we're able to make it happen.
Now we might change gears just a bit and talk about this upcoming weekend. A lot of activities down in Kansas City. The Northwest men's team playing tomorrow night at 6 with Emporia State in the quarterfinals of the conference tournament down at Municipal Auditorium. Of course, we hope that we get two more games after that if all goes mm-hmm. well. But that's really turned into probably one of the first-class events in Division II sports, the MIAA tournament. So many people can congregate in Kansas City, not only with Northwest alumni, but alumni from pretty much the rest of the conference schools that qualify, and it really turns into a fun weekend.
It is, and that's the unique thing for Division II. A lot of conferences will do kind of the home hosting for when it comes to tournaments and things like that. There's benefits to that. Obviously, it's nice if you're the number one team in the league to be able to play those games at home and use that home court advantage. But to be able to have everybody congregate down in Kansas City, and like you said, it gives our fans a chance to mix with everybody else in the league and to really just enjoy not only watching our teams play, but, you know, the way the sessions are set up, you've got at least admission to another game at that time, so you get a chance to watch some other schools play. You know, the way our schedule's set up, we don't have everybody come into Bearcat Arena, so there may be some teams that our fans, if they don't travel on the road with our team, haven't had a chance to watch. So that's going to be a great, hopefully long weekend down there to celebrate. You know, I will mention, you mentioned we're playing at 6 tomorrow. We're inviting Bearcat fans to come down beforehand. We've got McFadden's down in the Power and Light. You know, obviously we'd love to bring Carson's down there and make it there, but it's kind of our Carson South, I guess. But we'll be down at McFadden's from 4 to 6 or 5:45 or so, just a chance for Bearcat fans to kind of meet up and get excited for the game. You know, with a victory on Friday, we'll play at 8:15 on Saturday, so we're going to turn around and meet there again on Saturday. Go a little bit earlier at 5, that way if people want to go catch that first game at 6, they can, but really just encouraging fans to come by. We're going to have some appetizers, just come by, get some giveaways from the Alumni Association, and we'll get everybody ready for the games.
Tell you what's fun with that tournament is when you turn around and look behind us where we're normally set up, there's a lot of green right behind us, and just the turnout that Northwest fans get, I think, is just something special down there.
It is, and, you know, obviously the way the bracket sets up with the regional rankings that came out this week, it's a huge opportunity for our team. We've got, you know, we're fourth in the region right now. Missouri Southern's right above us, who, again, not to look too far down the road, if we were able to win on Friday and they won, we'd play them Saturday night, and then if everybody holds to seed, we'd play Central then on Sunday, who's the number one team in our region. So we have the chance to knock off two of the top three teams in our region heading into the NCAA tournament, which would be a huge confidence booster and, you know, maybe even get us in the conversation to host a region.
All right, well, Scott, thanks a lot for being with us.
Sure, thank you.
Yeah, that's Scott Nielsen, an Associate Athletic Director at Northwest Missouri State, with us on the show tonight. We'll be back and have more for you from Carson Sports Ground, downtown Maryville, after this timeout on KXCV KRNW.
Today's Bearcat Radio broadcast is sponsored by Hy-Vee. Located at 1217 South Main, Hy-Vee offers groceries, delicatessen, salad bar, gas, a bakery, floral shop, and pharmacy. More information is available in-store or at 660-582-2191. Today's game is brought to you by Maryville State Farm Insurance agents Kerry Myers and Kevin Neal, providing insurance and financial services at 121 West Lincoln and behind Applebee's at 305 Larry Lane, 562-3882 or 582-3512.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from Schreck Auto in Maryville. Lou Schreck and his team provide automotive care from tune-ups to oil changes to brakes and major repairs. More at 562-4884 or in shop at 125 East South Avenue in Maryville.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from the Northwest Foundation, providing support for the Northwest Alumni Association and the university's funding needs since 1971. More information is available on Facebook or online at nwmissouri.edu/alumni.
Support for today's game comes from Pizza Hut in Maryville. Pizza Hut offers a daily lunch buffet from 11:30 to 1 and Tuesday nights from 5:30 to 7. Dine-in, carry-out, or delivery is available. More online at pizzahut.com or in-store at 732 South Main in Maryville.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from the Student Body Screen Printing and Embroidery. Now located near the Northwest Campus at the corner of 4th and Fillmore in Maryville, the Student Body provides Bearcat fanware, custom screen printing and embroidery for teams, clubs, and businesses throughout the Bearcat Nation.
Welcome back to Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville on the KXCV Bearcat Coaches Show. Along with Matt Gorder, I'm John Coffey. And Matt, this weekend, we talked about it just a minute ago, but we've got basketball coming up tomorrow. The Northwest men in action as they will face Emporia State. And we'll have that broadcast beginning at 5:40 before the 6 o'clock tip-off from Municipal Auditorium. And should be a heck of a tournament coming up.
It's going to be a very competitive tournament. I think that's one of the things that has everybody looking forward to this weekend is just the fact that really no matter who's on the court, it's going to be some competitive basketball, and I think that's what makes this year so much more exciting.
I think one of the things about having it on a neutral site, and we've seen this through the years, it really causes an opportunity for some upsets in the tournament.
I think so. You know, we've talked about it the last couple of weeks, a few weeks of the season, how many teams we saw when you go to their home floor, they play so much better than they do away from their gym. Basically what this does is it forces teams, it basically shows the teams that are the best because you don't have an advantage. Northwest maybe gets a little bit of a home court advantage because of the following and the support that they get down at the Municipal Auditorium. But, yeah, you really got to be on your best game to win on neutral sites like they'll have this weekend.
Now, regardless of what happens this weekend, there's still a shot for Northwest to make it into the national tournament and get into that central region. And Sunday night, some special activities taking place with the selection show Sunday night at 9:30.
Yeah, what's been cool about Division II the last several years, and it wasn't up until last, maybe three, four, 5 years, something like that, they've started to do Division II selection shows. And there's an opportunity to witness that show here at Carson's on Sunday night. It's supposed to get started at 9:30. We've seen a time or two, especially with basketball, maybe a little later because you do have conference tournaments wrapping up on Sunday. But 9:30 here at Carson's, they'll have the selection show, so we can find out exactly when, where, and all the information about Bearcat basketball, hopefully next weekend.
All right, we'll be back and wrap up the show right after this timeout on the KXCV Bearcat Coaches Show from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from national investors in Redfield, Iowa, and Northwest alumni R. Joe Smith and Greg Wilson, providing asset protection, retirement planning, estate organization, and insurance options. More at nationalinvestors.com.
Support for today's game comes from Bram Danfelt Funeral Home in Maryville at 206 East South Hills Drive. Director Jeff Bram provides families with pre-arrangements, burial, and cremation services. More at bramfuneralhome.com.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network is provided by Nottoway Valley Bank, now offering its customers mobile banking services. More information is available online at nvb.com or at any one of their locations in Maryville, Savannah, Mound City, and St. Joseph.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network is provided by Nottoway County Economic Development, promoting the community, supporting business development, and growing community opportunity. Nottoway County Economic Development. More at MaryvilleMO.org.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from MTE Office Centers with locations in Maryville and Cameron. Providing computers, printing, networking furniture, and office supplies since 1935, MTE Office Center at 216 East 3rd in Maryville and 811... 811-